Now, I'm going into the biography of Richard Allen and where his agents were at a particular time. As I say, then I'll overlay in the weeks to come Mark David Chapman and where he was. In summary, I was drawing charts of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple, and I did a broadcast a few weeks ago on Tersum and the group that was behind the murder of Anwar Sadat. They set up their offices in Geneva, Switzerland, and in 1979 is when they were doing their operation over there for sending weapons to Sadat's enemies. Well, Mark David Chapman was in Geneva, Switzerland in 1978, and of course we don't know if he was in those same offices, but the characters that he met, the man that he met in Geneva, Switzerland, a David Moore in 1978, was the same David Moore that he worked with at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas. And when he was at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, at that time were brought in the Laotian tribesmen, the Mayo tribesmen, and the Vietnamese that Wilson and Turple and Theodore Shackley were bringing back from Southeast Asia. They were going to put them on the Turk Island for Robert Vesco to continue their narcotics traffic and Nazi propaganda and so forth, so that the tribesmen and the people working with Robert Vesco and Edwin Wilson, who had the offices in Geneva, was bringing them to Fort Chaffee. That's where they were when Mark David Chapman was there in 1975 with David Moore. And then he's in Geneva, Switzerland with David Moore in 1978 at the same time Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple and Thomas Kleins of the CIA are working in Geneva, Geneva in Switzerland. They had offices in Beirut, Lebanon, and I have a file. I'll be doing the Lebanon connections for you in Beirut, Lebanon, and Mark David Chapman was sent to Beirut, Lebanon for 6 months. The connections of Beirut have to do with the links to Chile, to the murder of Salvador Allende, to the Black September group, the radical group that claimed credit for killing the Jews at the Olympic Games in Munich, Germany. And Mark David Chapman was in Beirut at the same places where these people were for 6 months before he went to Fort Chaffee. Edwin Wilson and Samuel Cummings, the arms merchant, had safe houses in London and a lot of very fancy estates in London, England, where they keep refugees, and they were supposed to be for international people on the lam, like Robert Vesco. And Mark David Chapman was in London, where he was taken to a concert of John Lennon's. The Beatles had broken up before he flew back to Hawaii. He had a trip around the world where he was in Korea, and the Reverend Moon and the Koreans also have strong links to the Lebanon and Chilean connections. The Nugenhan Bank in Australia, that Task Force 157, the group that killed Allende and overthrew the government in Australia, had a travel office, and one of their offices was in Hawaii. And when Mark David Chapman came to Hawaii from Tennessee, from a Presbyterian church group in Tennessee, he went to a travel office where a woman, a Japanese woman, set up his arrangements for that trip around the world, and when he came home, he married her. I have a lot on the two Japanese wives, the Gloria Abe and Yoko Ono, and a lot of question marks on these two particular women under what I call the Japanese connection. But this travel office that was set up at the Nugenhan covered 16 countries, and one of them was Hawaii. And Chapman arrived in Hawaii and then took a trip around the world that included South Korea and China and Hong Kong and then Geneva, Switzerland, and London. So he covered the same bases as the people I've been talking about all year. The Nugenhan offices in Australia were linked to William Colby of the CIA and the murder of Frank Nugan. Michael Hand is still alive. And Colby, at the same time, was a lobbyist for three corporations in Japan. When Frank Nugan died with William Colby's name on him, and he was his attorney, I have the names of different companies, and he's been a strong lobbyist, as has Richard Allen in Japan. Richard Allen has, he says, from 5 to 9 clients in Japan.
And I have a large section on the Japanese connections we'll go into. And one of them is the entire electric company of Japan. And I mentioned last week on this program the Inner Progress, the CIA dummy front out of Washington that covered a large electric company in Japan that was linked to the attorney general in California, and that was Evel Younger. So William Colby had one finger as an attorney for the Nguyen Bank, which was completely CIA and heroin traffic that Vesco, Robert Vesco and Frank Turple were linked to, and they had Japanese clients, William Colby, over in Japan as a lobbyist. And then the Japanese connection, there were two wives involved in this complicated web. One was Gloria Abe, a surrogate wife of a kind of Mark David Chapman. He went to the travel agency where she worked. He wanted a trip around the world. She set it up for him. He came back from this glorious trip, like Korea, Japan, and so forth, the Southeast Asia and Geneva and London. And then she, in quotes, married him. His hobby was collecting expensive paintings. Some of you know, some you don't know. $8,700 for a Salvador Dali and a Rockwell. He had expensive art. No noticeable means of support, mind you, about $4 an hour here and there. But he collected expensive art and traveled. The Nguyen Bank was closely linked to Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson. And Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson worked also with Strom Thurmond, the man from the Senate who wanted to get John Lennon out of this country. There's proof or documentation of the Thurmond connections in one book. It's the book, The Biography of John Lennon. You can see a quotation. There's many other pieces of evidence. I have some that have been gotten from Freedom of Information Act. But in this one particular biography, it said that John Lennon was to be gotten rid of, that Strom Thurmond sent a letter to John Mitchell in 1972 and was afraid that there would be demonstrations at the Republican National Convention. Well, if they were afraid of demonstrations in 72, you can bet they would be afraid of demonstrations in 1981, because Ronald Reagan was hell-bent and is hell-bent on war. And they were afraid, I know, that John Lennon would surface and come out, emerge again. He was going to reappear again. Strom Thurmond wrote to John Mitchell, the Attorney General, "It appears to me an important matter, and it is well to be considered at the highest level, which would be above John Mitchell to the National Security Council. Many headaches might be avoided if appropriate action be taken in time on John Lennon." Now, that is the head of the judiciary. This is the way the justice works in the United States, the country of law and order. The senator in charge of the judiciary writes to the attorney general, who ended up in prison with his striped suits, and they're supposed to go to the highest level, which would be, when he says the highest level above John, would be the National Security Council, who gives the permission for the hit and the killing. "Headaches would be avoided if the appropriate action be taken in time." That was 1972. By 1975, they got off of Lennon's case because Watergate came. There were so many exposés, and they couldn't handle all the stories that were coming out. So after 4 years, there was a lot of appeal on the case. On October the 7th, 1975, they said John Lennon can stay in this country. Now, I'll go in with you later into the chronology again. I'll mention it now and repeat it later. John Lennon was traveling around the country. He picked up with a Chinese woman. He left Yoko for 18 months. He wasn't around her until after this time period, after he was accepted in this country. He went off on his own. And then he returns to Yoko at a time that is very crucial, because she sees him at an Elton John concert, sends him to a hypnotist, and he comes home and almost reverts to an infantile fetal position. He stays home 5 years and then just begins to emerge. He's very quiet at home and hiding and staying in bed and referring or comparing himself to Howard Hughes and not doing much. He's staying in that house or in the apartments in the Dakota, and she's out buying property. I might say that 6 days before John Lennon was murdered, Yoko bought a $450,000 farm in Virginia and another $350,000 home in Virginia, right in the heart or nest of the intelligence community. I would love to see a map and see if it's near Edwin Wilson's house or John Warner, Senator John Warner. But she plunked down a big hunk of money. He saw one home. It was bought in April. He never saw the other one. She managed the finances, and he stayed in the house. And he didn't emerge again until later when she, as I say, had him hypnotized, and he came home and was a good boy. But when John got back to Yoko, then the wheel started turning again, if you put it into chronological order. And it turns out that the Turple Wilson case appears, according to Jack Anderson, Good Morning America. This is September the 24th of this year. My Justice Department story says that the name of Strom Thurmond, the crusty South Carolina senator, turned up in the Turple Wilson case. Investigators are checking into a possible connection of former Thurmond aide and these two renegade agents. Here's the story. A government witness charged that Frank Turple met in 1976 in the office of Strom Thurmond with a man called the Preacher. His real name is R.C. Whitner, W-H-I-T-N-E-R, and C is for church. His middle name is Church. And the Preacher was the top aide of Strom Thurmond. And Wilson's partner, Turple, was in the office with Strom Thurmond. And when asked about this, Thurmond said, well, he did know Edwin Wilson. And Wilson, of course, is the man that set up 127 dummy fronts for Navy intelligence and for Task Force 157 and organizations all over the world, including that TERSUM in Geneva. So just the exact time that John Lennon is back with Yoko, the Thurmond connection comes in again, and they, Turple and Wilson, are with Strom Thurmond. Now, I don't think they were there to send weapons to Gaddafi. They may say, well, we want to send some weapons over to Gaddafi, some transport planes. I don't believe that Strom Thurmond was sending that rascal Gaddafi airplanes. I think that Wilson and Turple and their connections to Robert Vesco and to the assassination teams and to the route that Mark David Chapman had talked more about John Lennon than they talked about weapons for Gaddafi. I think that's all a cover. Now, in 1970, Richard Nixon sent out a memo that has been documented. We cannot accept the election of Salvador Allende to be president of Chile. He told the National Security Council to get moving on that. And in 1970 was the time that the COINTEL program was put in by Tom Charles Houston, starting in 68, to get the rock musicians, to get John Lennon, and to get the hippies and the anti-war protesters. And from 1970 to 72, with John Mitchell, until Watergate came, and then John Dean told us about those programs, Richard Nixon had set into motion in California, starting in 1969 with Altamont. And I also have a connection of that John Ellsworth, not only to the Egyptian group and the killing at Altamont when they made the movie Gimme Shelter, but working for the Secret Service and the FBI, and also in Beirut, Lebanon, Mark David Chapman was, who killed John Lennon. So the same year that Richard Nixon is saying, set the wheels out, we can't accept Allende's presidency in Chile, and they begin the arrangements to kill Allende, is the same time that they were making the arrangements to wipe out the musicians after the Woodstock Carnival and the Altamont, and that was the end of the music scene. And by 1972, as I say, Strom Thurmond was telling John Mitchell, let's do something now. It'd be expedient to move on him now. It would save us time later. Now, when Nixon called on his team to kill Allende, the team that he was working with, Edwin Wilson and Vesco and Turple, all worked with Mr. Allen, Richard Allen, in the same way the COINTEL program, Mr. William Casey and Richard Allen and the entire White House and the plumbers team and Robert Vesco were all involved in that, particularly the Hollywood angle with Robert Hall and Jack Eggers of the Beverly Hills Police Department that worked with Vesco, and Vesco worked with Richard Allen. Now, the Theodore Shackley Group, as I say, was bringing in people from Laos and Vietnam, and at Fort Chaffee is where Mark David Chapman was working with them. In Miami, there was a assassination team set up called JM Wave by Theodore Shackley, brought from Germany, and they worked with Frank Sturgis, involved with the Kennedy assassination, and Richard Allen. When I go into his biography for you year by year, if I don't have time this week, I'll continue it next week. This gang was working with Richard Allen very closely. And at the same time, down in Miami, was Mark David Chapman. At first, when he was arrested in New York, they had a fingerprint and identification of some crime in Florida that he was involved with. And then they quick hushed that up and said, oh, no, we've mistaken the wrong person. But his father lives in Florida, and there's even a bigger story in Florida going on now of Richard Allen that has an overlay of these particular years in 1976 that I'll go into in 1 minute. This assassination team were working with Mitchell Werbel in DeKalb County in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, and training assassins and working with the assassination teams of Lucian Conin and the group that worked from, as I say, from John Kennedy up through tomorrow. Mitchell Werbel has sold one company and he's moved to Texas. And he's been training these private mercenaries and hit teams with silencers to go all over the world. And the place that Mark David Chapman started, he went to junior college, at DeKalb County. He had training to shoot. He took a lesson to be a security guard. He learned to use weapons at DeKalb County before he ever went to Beirut, Lebanon. The assassination teams of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were involved with art galleries and coin collecting and international narcotics and a network that went from Chile to the PLO and Lebanon and Hawaii, and the same kind of contacts Mark David Chapman had at art galleries and art collections, and his consuming interest in art galleries and his traveling and being located at the exact places where these other fellows work. Now, Richard Allen works for the National Security Council. He has strong Japanese contacts, and he set up a corporation called Potomac International that I'll go into. And involved in the other story, the Japanese connections that are many that I'll run down for you, of I think Yoko Ono and Gloria Abe and the unknown clients of Richard Allen and William Colby over in Japan are the answer to who killed John Lennon, because if you take these names and put them in sequence, the places where they were located at the particular time, the cities and the dates, which I have done, I can believe that the December 8th meeting of these people had more to do, as I say, with delivering John Lennon than it had to do with anything else that was going on in Washington at the time. When they met in January, Lennon was gone and he was no more challenged. And then the war cries of Alexander Haig and Richard Pipes and the entire Reagan's administration began, you know, escalating until hopefully maybe they can pull a war with somebody like Nicaragua or El Salvador or Libya. They're dying for this war. And I think they may have a war this time and nobody will come, but that's what they want to have. Now, there was a story in the Los Angeles Times, in addition to the item about the big gift that Richard Allen had. Richard Allen had an apartment in Florida that he didn't tell the White House about, as if they didn't know. The only one who didn't know was us. Fred Fielding, who was the man who told the press that the FBI had cleared Richard Allen, actually owns a half of a condominium apartment with Richard Allen in Florida. And they bought this down there on Sanibel Island January the 1st, 1976, as partners. And they bought it from a Viscount Jose Butello, a businessman from the Azores Island. They were going to establish a business district in the Azores on behalf of Robert Vesco. Richard Allen is linked in every way with Robert Vesco, which is the international narcotics market, but also the assassination teams. I want to make it clear that he isn't just a businessman. He has been linked to those people who have been pulling assassinations for so long that it terrifies me to think that on December the 8th, the day that John Lennon died, is when he's making contacts with his friends overseas. There are many books on Robert Vesco, and this is the partner of Richard Allen, the head of our National Security Council. One of the best books that I refer to all the time is that one, Spooks, by Jim Hogan. And Jim is writing a book, I understand, on Frank Turple now. Goodness knows if Turple is alive. Turple and Corcoran disappeared 3 weeks ago after being on 60 Minutes. In the index of just the book Spooks, it says there's a section on Robert Vesco, a section on Richard Allen and Vesco, the CIA and Vesco, Duvalier and Vesco, Bobby Hall, and that is the Reagan connection, the Hollywood connection to Michael Reagan, Jack Eggers, the Beverly Hills Police Department, investment overseas, that Vesco connection, Richard Nixon and Vesco, organized crime and Vesco, Paradise Island, and Mitchell Werbel and Vesco. And Werbel, as I say, is DeKalb County. And there's an interwoven connection, it interweaves throughout the atlas when you take the places of where these people were and what they were doing and all the purposes of the names that I'm mentioning. As I said a year ago on this program, are for the purpose of assassinations. These are not businesses, per se. These are hit teams that have set up offices, and where they go, people die. Whether they set up an office in Egypt and Sadat dies, or office in Australia for Allende's murder, or Orlando Letelier's murder, and I believe also it had a strong link to Guyana and the Jonestown murders. That's one reason Jonestown hasn't been opened up or investigated, because of this tangled web. But wherever these people went, there were deaths. It was Los Angeles, the Ambassador Hotel, and Robert Kennedy was killed, or up at Chappaquiddick when Mary Jo Kopechne was killed. And so were there strong links with these deaths. Now, Mark David Chapman, as I say, was at Fort Chaffee at the military base there with that David Moore in 1975, and he's with the same man in Geneva, Switzerland in 1978. He came back, and he went, after his Beirut trip, he went to a Presbyterian college in Tennessee, and at that time he met a woman named Jessica Blankenship, and she took him to the Presbyterian College in Tennessee. But when he goes to Hawaii and wants a trip around the world, he goes to a travel agency, and as soon as he kills John Lennon, he calls his wife, and she says to the press, the first remark is, "I am a Presbyterian." She's a Japanese woman. She made it quite clear, "I am a Presbyterian," and he had come from that Presbyterian college in Tennessee to Hawaii. And then, before he killed John Lennon, he went to Atlanta, Georgia. He went from Hawaii to Atlanta, Georgia to New York in November, then back to Hawaii, and then to Atlanta, and then to New York to the Dakota, where he killed John Lennon. And when he went to Atlanta, Georgia on December the 6th and 5th and 6th, he again saw the same woman, Jessica Blankenship, that he saw at the Tennessee college before he went to Hawaii. It was a Presbyterian college. He marries a Presbyterian or goes through that service, and she's the one that sends him around the world where these contacts are made. And he keeps contact with these people, David Moore, two different times, and Jessica Blankenship, two different times, and both times are crucial. And the state of Tennessee is important. This Covenant College in Tennessee is important. Albert Osborne from the Defense Department, who traveled to Mexico with Lee Harvey Oswald, had dual citizenship in London, the United States, and home base was Tennessee and also in Texas. The Tennessee Valley is the area where the Atomic Energy Commission for NASA gave Joseph Mengele, the Nazi war criminal, money to experiment on 200 people who died of overdose of radiation in Tennessee. Tennessee is where Martin Luther King was killed. James Earl Ray is there. Money from Wells Fargo Bank at the time of the scandal of $23 million missing. Harold Smith says it involves $200 to $300 million. And out of Hollywood branch of the Wells Fargo Bank, 5.3 was missing a million in Tennessee, and that's been hushed up and not investigated. And, of course, Senator Howard Baker of the CIA and William Colby were very thick through Watergate and covered up the team, like Richard Allen and William Casey and John Mitchell and Robert Vesco. They covered all that up in 1972, 73, 74. Howard Baker is from Tennessee. So the overlapping of names of his seeing that same woman from the Presbyterian College in 1975 and seeing her again in 1980, seeing the Fort Chaffee friend from 1975, seeing him in 1978 in Geneva, Switzerland, I think these are key people to setting up the route of Mark David Chapman, that he ends up knowing exactly where John Lennon stayed. Now, the hour is just about over, and I do not have time to go over the chart with you in this hour on Richard Allen. He's a very important man. He's important in many ways, and I have not done 1 hour biography on him. Oh, for many reasons, just a lack of time. There's been so many news stories breaking every week. But because of his contact on December the 7th and December the 8th in 1980, the night that John Lennon was murdered, and because of his importance in his clients in Japan, that he had more clients than had to do with motor companies for the National Security Council, and because of Richard Allen's links to Robert Vesco and the assassination teams that have been working from Dallas up to the present, it's important to get the chronology of Richard Allen, of who he is. He and William Casey are very important. So if I don't do it this week, what I'll do is next week take the charts I have for you on Richard Allen and take the charts on Mark David Chapman and do part two on the John Lennon murder and show the overlaying locations of the particular agents of Allen at the time that Chapman was moving around. One point about Richard Allen, which is important before I go off the air, is after he graduated from college from Notre Dame, that was 1957 to 58. He was at Notre Dame getting a BA and an MA. He was part of a Helm Foundation called a study group from 1958 to 1960. Now, the year 1957 on is when the Cold War really escalated and Eisenhower is in office and Richard Nixon is vice president, getting ready to run for president in 1960, and they thought he would, and the Bay of Pigs would be in 1961. Richard Allen takes 2 years off to go to Europe. He said he went for a degree, a doctor's degree, and he told various people he had a doctor's degree, but he had lied. He didn't have a doctor's degree. He was there from 1959 to 1960. Now, 1959 to 1960 is when Otto von Bollschwing, the Nazi who set up the Galen group in the United States that was involved with the murder of John Kennedy, was in Europe under the protection of Elmer Bobst and Richard Nixon's great benefactors. So that the same years that he goes to Europe, Otto von Bollschwing, to take his position and accumulate a great amount of capital from a world Nazi network that was set up, Richard Allen is in Germany in 1959 and 1960 in Munich, Germany. He goes 1960 to 61, rather, and Bollschwing is there 59 and 60. So with those connections and with a lot more to come next week on this program, I'll do part two on who killed John Lennon and how they are related to the past murders of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and going right up to Anwar Sadat. By next week, there may be another major one. We'll see. But we'll continue with this next week so you understand how they successfully did away with John Lennon. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, and I'll be back with you next week.